You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and it's Dave. And we are talking betting lines and pop culture and whatever else is on our mind in the special second weekly bonus podcast in Packers Therapy. But Dave, I understand there is some bad news to start out this particular podcast. Mitno Miller, I don't know. He must be caught in the opium den again.
Yeah. We haven't heard from Mike yet. And without that information, maybe it's the bye week. He did not send it there. We do not have the results yet. I was checking to see something that maybe it might have snuck through. So unless Mike, I apologize if I missed it, but I don't have the betting lines. We'll have to see who gets to stay at the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino. But we can at least go through the results. Should we at least go through the betting lines? And you can
Let's
score
go
it.
Through the results. And if Mike sobers up or maybe gets his bail money taken care of and is able to get to us, maybe we can post it on Twitter as to who the betting line winner was. So Packers Therapy at Twitter or at Packers Therapy on Twitter. That's where you get us, and we will post the winner once Mike sobers up enough to tell us. Anyway, so let's go through the betting lines from last week, Dave.
All right, let's go through them. Number one, I asked you what Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating would be. You set the line at 112. I took the over.
God.
And it was 35.4. So I think if we'd have known that, I would not have picked the Packers to win if I just know that one stat, 35.4. If you set the line at 50, I don't think I would have taken the under, but that's what it would have won. So we'll come back to that question maybe for this coming week. But for now, that's definitely under one, that one. A lot of these are disappointing, as you can imagine. Number two, how many touchdowns would Robert Tonyan catch?
Oh, no. Oh,
set the
no.
line at 0.5, and he had zero. I thought he was part of the game plan early, though, and I thought, this guy's really going to be a threat. And
he got hurt, though, too. I haven't seen anything on that. He hobbled off. He came back, but you know those things linger. So it looked like a leg injury or a foot injury. Yeah.
But he did come back, so I think this is a guy we need to keep on the team and be healthy. So no touchdowns for Big Bob Tonyan this week.
Yeah,
number three, total rushing yards for Green Bay. You set the line at 112. Remember we were really liking the 112 number last week?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was the under had that one. It was 94 yards, if I have that correctly. Yeah, 94 yards, including 14 by Rodgers, including a bell ringer of a hit that he took near the end zone. What did you think of his dance, by the way? Did you know what that was?
No, I didn't. But luckily I was watching it with somebody who did, and son number one was able to explain it to the old man. And I didn't know who Key and Peele was, of course, but I didn't know the bit that was being referenced. So yeah, I got it, but only thanks to my son helping.
What is the bit? Is that a football celebration?
Yeah, apparently they were doing a parody of, you know, certain things were allowable for dances and other things weren't. And so they were counting the number of hip thrusts. So if you did one, it was okay. If you did, you know, more than one, it was a penalty. And yeah, and that was the bit. And the way it was described to me was it sounded funny, probably funnier if you had actually seen it.
Yeah.
But that's, I guess, what Rodgers was doing, and props to him because Key and Peele are funny.
Oh yeah, he's very topical. Very topical. Yeah. Yep. Number four, I asked you, this was a key one. How many turnovers would Green Bay commit? You set the line at 1.5. They had two critical interceptions. So the over had that.
Did not see that coming.
No, no. And then number five, how many turnovers would Tampa Bay have? You set the line at 1.5.
They were clean.
They got through clean. Yep, Tom Brady looked like Tom Brady of old, and Gronkowski discovered Fountain of Youth out of nowhere, which is great.
Yeah.
Number six, I asked you what would be the percentage of carry rushing plays as a percent of total plays. You set the line at 43%, and it was 37.5, which is a little bit higher than I thought, given how the game played out. I thought we would have passed a lot more, but you know, over a third of the time, we did rush the ball to very little avail. I mean, that defense was not giving up a lot of yards on the ground. I mean, those middle linebackers were fast.
Yeah, and physical. I mean, they were fast and mean.
Yeah, they put you down. Yeah, put you down. Number six, what is Tom Brady's quarterback rating? You set the line at 98, I believe.
Yep.
And he was 104.9, so you overhead that
one. Okay, all right, yeah.
7.5, I asked you, who would have the most catches by group, wide receiver, tight ends, or running backs? We both said wide receivers, and by a long shot, it was wide receivers. Of the 16 catches, 10 of them were from wide receivers, and 6 of them were from Davante Adams. Mm. You know, MVS had a decent game early. He had a couple catches. But, you know, when he disappears, he disappears. I think this is a guy will, unless he picks it up the rest of this year, I think that's going to be a guy we kind of look back on and think, remember that MVS and how terrible he was? I just have a feeling this guy is just a coach killer. He's fast. He just isn't getting it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that – I don't think he's terrible. I don't think that he is fast enough and sure-handed enough to be a deep threat. And I just don't think he's nifty enough across the middle to be, you know, the short possession kind of guy.
Yeah.
Now, James Jones, you know, took a little while for him to catch on, and when he did, you know, he was pretty solid. Of course, he was a second round pick, and I want to say MVS fifth, I think. So you know, there's probably not as much talent there. So I'm not ready to say he's terrible, or I'll look back at him as, you know, as a failure. But certainly somebody that, you know, is not going to be in the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think against Don, next to Don Majkowski, I don't think so. But yeah, I just have this feeling he's always going to be a disappointment. But I would have thought that against Davante Adams' second year too. I was pretty disappointed with him, and he got his act together certainly. So maybe it's a little bit too early. 7-3-4. I asked you if they'd do a Bay play on the Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Bay of Pigs kind of stuff. We both said yes, but I did not see it. So they had the graphic of Rodgers and Brady at one point, but there wasn't a whole lot of like angles of Tampa, and other than just the Rodgers Brady thing, I didn't see much of anything else.
You know, I kind of got the sense as though, and I didn't realize this was going to be the featured game, you know, where you've got, you know, you got Buck and Aikman, and it was a big deal game. Usually they do that kind of stuff, the more fun stuff, when it's not the first team and it's not the featured thing. It's more of a regional game. So I think they try to do a little more serious type stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess had I thought that through and realized that, yeah, this is going to be something that they're going to feature, I maybe would have gone no on that one. But it would have been a great opportunity to have some fun with it. I just think they take it, you know, more seriously when it's their featured game.
Yeah, that may be. And then the tiebreaker was Aaron Jones' total yards. You said 112. I said 112.5. Guy had 41, completing what is the worst game of the year by far. And super.
I think that's a good thing right there to say completing it. That means it's over, and we can, you know, put a fork in that.
All right. You ready to do this week's lines?
I suppose I have to, huh?
You do. Well, it might not matter if Mike has disappeared. We may just be doing betting lines into the dark. here, but we'll keep doing it anyway. All right, so let's start the betting lines for Houston. Number one, going back to it, Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating for this game.
That's a classic for us. I mean, we tend to do that one most weeks. I was a little bit, chippy like last week, 112. Hey, baby, this guy is for real. He's figured it out. He's bought into the system. He's doing these, check down throws. He's hitting the open man. He's taking what the defense gives him. Hey, give him 112. Well, my faith has been shaken, Dave. I tell you, I'm not, and I don't know a lot about Houston. I've only watched one of their games this year. I'm in the tank big time for their quarterback. I like Watson a lot. I think, remember watching the game, Watt can still get it done. He's a factor. I don't know that the rest of their defense is great, but given the disruptive nature of Watt and the fact that the Packers might be playing without Bakhtiari, I think that's going to affect the passer. I think that's going to affect the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be more modest this week. And I think we're going to look at a passer rating of 93 for Aaron Rodgers.
I am going to take the over. I looked at the Houston Tennessee game, and Tannehill had a quarterback rating of 122.4, threw for 364 yards, four touchdowns. So they gave up a lot of yards, and the Derrick Henry rushed for over 200 yards. So there's a lot of offense in that game. I'm thinking that we're going to see a high-scoring game on both sides, so I'm going to take the over for that.
So, we just spent a significant amount of time in the last podcast kind of saying,
this is this podcast. I don't go back.
I'm just saying that if Aaron Rodgers isn't bought into the program like we thought, then maybe
then I take the under. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the point I want to make with the last podcast, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on. I'm hoping
that's my line. Hey, that's my line, buddy.
Well, I'm angry. You're confused. I'm angry.
Yes, exactly.
But
exactly.
Can they pull it together? I hope so. I hope, because I think you're going to see blitzing in this game. This is not Detroit or Minnesota that's gotten burned by Rodgers over and over again. And I think they're going to look at last week's tape and they're going to blitz and put pressure on Rodgers. But 93. Looking at last week's game with Houston, I think at least he can outperform that. I'm hoping so, but I may really change my mind if we see another stinker this week. Mm-hmm. Speaking of stinkers, how many targets were Davante Adams have? He had 10 targets. I was going to make this a percentage of total targets, but I thought that's kind of too much. But so, how many targets do you think Davante will get this week?
Boy, I mean, I was disappointed that Aaron was locking on to him, and that I think is the major reason why the pick six happened, is because that single-minded, gotta get it to Davante. 10 is a lot, but I don't have any reason to believe that Aaron's gonna go away from that. I'm gonna set it at 9.5.
Actually, I'm gonna change the betting line. Just to make this, because 10 could be a reasonable amount if this is just an air show. So last week, of the total targets of other players, so Davante got roughly a third of targets. He was 10 out of 31. Right. So I am going to do on a percentage basis. So what percent targets do you think Davante will get? Do you think a third is probably too high, right?
Absolutely.
We need this to be down kind of in the between 10 and 20, somewhere in there. So let's do that. Let's do it as a percentage. I think that's more interesting.
Well, but a lot of it will depend on your numerator here as well. We've got 31 over 10, and that's not so good. But if they
the other way around, it's 10 over 31. The denominator. Yes,
yeah,
I know. What
you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here's the issue though, is they didn't have a lot of passes after the first quarter, or a lot of plays after the first quarter that are going three and out. frequently. And oh, by the way, J.K. Scott has been getting ripped for his punting, but you know, I mean, guy had 2 inside the 20, 7 punts, 46 yards, hit the net of 42 yards. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it didn't look great, but the stats were fine. So, I mean, give a brother a break here.
You're way far away from the Davante Adams percentage targets number.
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I didn't get a chance to talk about it in the other podcast. I forgot. I didn't write it down. Sorry.
All right.
Anyway, back to Davante. So anyway, the point is, if they get more attempts, if they pass the ball 40 times and they and 10 of those goes to Adams, that's fine. I mean, I'm fine with 25%. In fact, I'm going to say 25%.
All right, 25%. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
Until they prove otherwise. Number three, how many receivers will have a catch this game? This is one of the problems. So you had Davante had 6, MVS had 3, Shepard had 1, and that's it. So for wide receivers, not tight ends, not running backs, 3 is too few. You had St. Brown had 0, Malik Taylor had 0, Lazard didn't play.
Lazard's not going to play probably for a long time.
Yeah, so I guess it's really is St. Brown or Taylor going to get some catches other than so? How many receivers do you think will actually get a catch?
I am going to wide receivers here. You're talking. I could see Adams, Shepard, St. Brown. Oh, how are we counting Tyler Urban? We count him as a receiver or running back? I think they count him as a running back, don't they?
I would think they would. I mean, does he? That's a good question.
Because that would,
if I include him as a wide receiver, will that?
Yeah, that'll.
Let's say
change.
Irvin counts as a receiver. Okay, yeah.
All right.
So Irvin's a receiver.
Okay. I could see definitely 4, next week.
Okay.
Four individual wide receivers. If Irvin's counted with that getting catches.
So what's your line? 3.5 or?
Okay, 3.5. Yeah.
3.5.
I was flirting with 4.5, but I'm going to go 3.5.
Okay. Well, so yeah, I'll take the over.
Okay.
On that. That would require, Irvin, St. Brown or Taylor got to get a catch next week.
I think St. Brown's getting the catch next week. I have no qualms at all about that. I think 3 is a given.
And I wonder if they should just do a screen for him, just to get him a catch,
right?
Get him involved early, let him be tackled, and then
that's right. That's what I think is going to happen. Is to kind of get him. I think they tried to do that this week, but the timing was off.
Yeah,
because there were short passes to him, and neither one was there. And I think it's because he wasn't where he needed to be at the time he needed to be there.
Well, that's why I wonder. There's one screen pass or very quick pass that was thrown, and they were either Rodgers threw it too quickly or St. Brown didn't run the route right, but it was an incomplete pass. It wasn't even close. And that made me wonder, did Rodgers say, like, well, I'm not running that play again? What is it? They lost faith in St. Brown. I think St. Brown had 2 targets, I think. And neither were completed.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he just felt like, he's a guy I don't have trust in. Well, guess what? One of your 4 wide receivers is basically, you don't need to cover him because Rodgers is going to throw you the ball. That's no good.
I don't think it was a trust one. I think this is one where St. Brown was, he hadn't played in over a year. I think he was beyond rusty. And I think he was just goofed up. In fact, I think he needed more practice time. But I think they couldn't, they couldn't not play him. They had to because they were so short at wide receiver. I don't think he's ready to play though, and I think that's what we saw this week. He'll be more ready this week coming up, and I think they'll make sure he gets at least 1 catch.
All right, we'll see. Number 4, who will be the leading tackler for the Packers?
Okay, we had Barnes this week with 10. Boy, this is interesting. Yeah, I think it's going to be a linebacker and probably in the middle. I mean, that's where those tackles tend to happen. Boy, I sure as hell hope it's not a safety because, I'm Chris Barnes is the guy that
you go with Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, it, I'm going to be interested when Martin is available. I think he might be a guy that will rack up a lot of tackles, but I don't know if he's going to be activated next week. I think they have 3 weeks, and they just started practicing him, so he might not be available this week. But he's a guy that if I knew he was going to play, I might take a chance there. But right now, Barnes looks like the guy that's going to be making plays in the middle of the field. So I'll go with Barnes.
Yeah. Now, did Savage get hurt this game?
Yeah, he did. Okay. At least I heard that. I don't recall him being hurt, but I heard people talking about it. And I'm not sure what the nature of that injury is. Maybe he got his feelings hurt. And
Well, because I was going to pick him. I feel like it will be a safety this week. Oh, I think there's going to be a lot of balls down the field. But, you know, it's hard for a corner or safety to lead, given all the tackles they have up front. I guess I'll go with Za'Darius Smith.
He had one tackle and only an assist this week. I don't know what's going on there. You know,
I think he's
going
to have a comeback game. I'm going to give it to Za'Darius and see if that works.
You know, the guy who I was thinking maybe is Kiki. He's been playing well, and he had six tackles this week. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, to see him sneak in there. That was my runner-up choice after Barnes.
Then would he be a sneaky Kiki?
Yes, he would be, as a matter of fact.
Number five, what will be Deshaun Watson's quarterback rating?
You said it was something astronomical this past week.
Like he was almost 140, 138.9.
Oh, God. I mean, but he's really capable of that.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, Packers, if they're not getting home with the pass rush, they have, you know, leaky, defensive backs. Is Kevin King going to play? I mean, he didn't play this past week. I think it was a quad injury, so I'm not sure, you know, how long that's going to take. I'm gonna say Watson will have a good game. Again, I'm in the tank for this guy. I think he's terrific. I'm going to put it at 105.
Oh, 105. I'll take the over. I think that's a little bit too low. But, you know, you think they're going to be leaky. But do you think they'll be leaky if they have a sneaky Kiki? Is that possible?
Are you drinking? Are you drinking, Dave?
Look.
Or maybe the question is, how much are you drinking?
No, zero. If you're going to throw sneaky Kiki and leaky all within a minute, I'm not going to let that drop.
Props That's to you, my friend.
Number six, total yards by a player named Randall Cobb, who plays for the Texans. Just to give you some perspective, he did not have any rushing yards. He had three catches for 17 yards. He was they have Will Fuller. I think that's the fifth and not Will Voller V. Darren Fells, Brandon Cooks, Farrell Brown. He had less catches than Randall Cobb, had more yards. And then Randall Cobb was the fifth receiver in terms of yardage. So
you want yardage or number of catches?
I wanted total yardage.
I think it'll be more than 17. I'm going to put Randall Cobb down for 38.
38. Oh, that's a higher than I thought you would go. I guess I'll take the under there. But I just have this feeling that Randall Cobb's going to be it's going to have one of those plays where like, oh gosh, now we could really use a Randall Cobb like player right now.
I know. Well,
and actually, that's true. We actually could use a Randall Cobb player right now.
Getting some, you know, 17 yarder there, a 10 yarder there. You know, I could definitely see something like that. Yeah.
All right. Number seven. Total rushing yards for Green Bay again. I think that'll be interesting. You know, can they come back to the rushing game and have that be successful? I think they had a little bit of that until they completely lost the lead against Tampa. I think they could have been a little bit more effective. But what do you think? Total rushing yards, they had 94 this week against Tampa. Who, I guess, had I heard that Tampa had only given up something like around 60 yards total in their other game? So 94 was actually pretty reasonable.
It wasn't total. It was average, right? It wasn't like they gave up 60 yards total in the first five games.
Average per game.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're they're a tough defense. There's no doubt about that. But also, in fairness, 14 of those yards were from Rodgers, so really it's 80 yards the Packers.
Fair enough.
That's running right. backs at. But they had two long gains. You know, they had the garbage time, 20 yards by Dillon, and 25 from Williams. That nice run up the middle. That was quite sweet.
Right.
See, now I know Texas, their defense isn't what it was, but I think the Packers will do at least as well as they did against Tampa. So this is just the running backs, and this is not
Rodgers too. So total yardage.
All right. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go over 100 again. I'm not going 112, but I will go. I'm going to go with total yards of 121.
121. Ooh, that's 121. Yeah, I'm going to take the over. Take the over. I think they run the ball a little bit more effectively. 7.5.
This will be the week when they come back to the jet sweep too. If yeah, Irvin is Irvin's available, I predict a jet sweep.
All right, that's not going to be one of the betting lines, but I'll note that. So jet sweep question mark. All right. First one. Will we see Tim Boyle at any time in this game?
Well, we'll see him on
for
the sidelines.
For bad. playing a down.
Yeah, boy, he had that sack, which is ugly, and then he fumbled, and oh God, what a freaking nightmare! Yeah,
because Boyle could come in a blowout either direction. So, do you think we're gonna see some Boyle time?
Yeah, Tim Boyle looked like he was boiled. You know, he looked like Peter Boyle out there, you know, young Frankenstein. Yeah. No, he will not get any time. Rodgers will not be injured. So Boyle will not take any snaps. The game will be closer, so there won't be garbage time for Boyle to play.
Okay, I think so too. I think this will be a close game and not garbage time for either team. And then 7-3-4, at any time will they refer to J.J. Watt as being a Wisconsin Badger?
Absolutely.
So yes. You're going to say yes?
Yep.
I'm going to just be different and say no. You know, like him in a uniform, or I guess they could mention it. What if I said it had to be a highlight or something where it shows him in his Badger uniform?
I'm going to say that's going to be a no, but they will definitely make reference to the fact that he played for the Badgers.
Played in Wisconsin. All right, then I'm going to change mine to a yes, just to be different than you. So I think we'll see something where we'll see JJ in a Badger uniform.
Okay. Well, that's possible.
Just to throw it out there. And then the tiebreaker is total catches by a wide receiver not named Davante Adams, which maybe I'm already doubling up on that one. But so this week we had wide receiver. So we had MVS four.
Yeah, because Shepard and MVS.
So
that's a good one. I think they'll pass. I'm guessing around 40 attempts. Only four this week. You want me to set a line on this, or do
just
you want me to
pick a number? It's a tiebreaker.
Okay. I'm gonna go then with six.
Six. I wrote down seven.
Okay. Fair enough.
So those are your betting lines against the Houston Texans. Hopefully, Mitno Miller will. Let's just check email and see if Mitno Miller came through, and he did not. Think. Oh, but someone gave us some. Tom Freeman came through with a gift. While we're sitting here doing the podcast.
Oh, Tom! I bet you Judy made him do it.
That might be. He says for better Packers good news in the future. So there you go. That's.
I'd like to meet Tom and Judy sometime. They sound like really wonderful people to me.
We all would. Well, if you want to play the betting lines this week, we think you should send an email to Mike Miller, whose email address, and we don't sing it now because they lost.
Okay.
Right? That's the deal.
So this is, you'll be able to send the email at whatever county jail he's in, apparently.
Right. Apparently, it might cost you. If it's a for-profit prison, then it's going to be costly with all these emails coming through. So
Mike, what's that email address? What is that email?
MitnoMiller@gmail.com.
How do you spell that, Dave?
I was just about to. MITNOMILLER @gmail.com.
Yes. Okay. So. That's how you play. That's how you play the betting lines with Chris and Dave and Mike Miller, if he's able to help us out with this. And again, we will post to Twitter once we hear from Mike. We will make sure that we get that word out so you can make your travel plans. I know airline travel is difficult right now, but you know, the highways are still open as far as I know, so you'll be able to drive out to Vegas and enjoy our property if you can find it.
That's right.
All right. Do we want to do – should I do some mail first, or do we want to do
mail. We'll do pop culture at the end.
Well, you know, we should do mail because, you know, there was an announcement from Apple this past week, you know, putting out the new iPhone. So that was a chance for iChuck to, you know, pop a bottle of the bubbly. And apparently he's doing it in Venice. He left his outpost in Paris, in Gay Paris, to go to less gay Venice, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, sinking Venice. Venice and stinking Venice. Have you been to Venice?
I have. I don't remember it stinking, but you know,
it's like a freaking sewer, or at least when I was there.
I didn't go swimming in it. And actually, the thing that was most terrifying is those water taxis. Have you been to Venice?
Yes.
Did you take the water taxis?
No. Venice was flooded when I was there. So I was there for a day. I was actually a student, and I was overnighting on trains in those days. So I took the day in Venice. It was flooded, and all I wound up doing was, you know, walking on boardwalk at San Marco and other places and wondering why people thought this was such a romantic place when in January it's cold and wet, musty. It wasn't so good.
Yeah. When I was there, it was super hot. So, and none of those older buildings that you tour are air conditioning, obviously. Oh, so
yeah, they go through there like, great too. Yeah.
Oh, get me through this. But yeah, the water taxis, you're in an enclosed space zipping across those waves. If I'm on a boat, a small boat like that, I don't want to be enclosed. That's way too claustrophobic for me. I want to be someplace where if there's trouble, I can jump off the boat. Hated the water taxi.
The place was almost deserted when I was there. Again, it was not season. You know, I was on my way to Morocco. And so we took the long way from London down, you know, and then around the peninsula and Riviera and all that stuff. So we stopped in Venice and we thought, you know, hey, what the hell? Why not? You know? And it was deserted and sort of like that song. It was empty, cold, and damp. You know, it was pretty much what it was. It was like, yeah, Smoke on the Water? Yeah, when they all went down to Montreal. We went down to Venice and it was empty, cold, and damp.
Just like not Wisconsin. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I hope iChuck is enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, but I was going to say he wrote to us and he said his first line is good. Chuck starts out, maybe let's not crown their ass yet, eh? I think that about Fair says enough. It all. Yeah. He said that was a doozy. Looking forward to hearing our thoughts. Oh, maybe he's not actually once he hears them, his thoughts. I thought it was a weird game. Not sure how much can be taken from it. Tampa Bay's defense was outstanding. Shutting down the run game causes us all kinds of problems. But beyond that, I think it was just one of those everything went wrong games. So, you know, I think that's pretty good analysis. And he did that in about 12 seconds. And it took us like an hour to say the same thing on the podcast. So anyway, iChuck, thank you, my friend. And Dave and I are both appreciative of the new iPhone 12 Super Max. I think that's what they call it. It's the one they give to people in prisons. The Super Max, I think, is what Apple does with that anyway. So anyway, you will be looking forward. Are you getting the blue, Dave, or are you getting the slate of the new iPhone?
You know, I did not see the Apple announcement with the iPhone. Well, that was this week, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did they have it?
Right,
yeah, I didn't see it, so I don't know. But from what you describe, I would probably take the blue as I think of it, but I'll have to take a look at it.
Yeah, they've got two other colors too, but they didn't interest me at all. I didn't want gold maybe, and other might be silver. But whatever, the new iPhone's out, so Chuck, we'll be checking the mail daily. You know, yep. Dave, he's one of the guys that invented the iPhone.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
that's what I
heard. Yeah. And that's why he is iChuck, my friends. Who else? Oh, yes. There was a message from Dr. Klaus this week.
That's right.
It had been a long time we hadn't heard from Klaus, and we very much appreciated hearing from him because he's one of our very good friends, and we mean that in the sense that we actually know Klaus, and we hang out with Klaus, and he's a terrific guy. So thank you, Klaus, for being in touch. And he also offers some pop culture, which I think is worth mentioning because we're about to segue into that segment. He says he's been watching a fair amount of TV, and he's been watching The Boys, Utopia on Amazon.
No, that was my response. What is it?
Oh, this is your response. Okay, I gotta scroll up to what Klaus said then. Do you remember what he said off the top of your head here? Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know if he had any pop culture.
I thought he did.
I think he talked about my colonoscopy. Does that count? Which I almost
canceled. No. What he said was he was talking about he did have a delineated list, but they were of Packers.
Oh, that's right.
Devontae, right. Aaron Jones.
That was the list of who had stepped up each week, and he wondered
that's
who was
right.
going to step up this week.
That's
and it turns
right.
out it was Tampa Bay and Gronkowski and everyone. No one on Green Bay. No, it was someone different each week. This week, nobody.
Well, it's always good hearing from the good doctor, and he is apparently avoiding COVID in Norway. So that's good as well. And, of course, we mentioned that Chris was in touch with us. A lot of people are really getting active with us on Twitter, and we very much appreciate hearing from folks on Twitter. Let's take a look here and see, because even now there are 7 more people who've been in touch with us. This is insane, Dave. Let me see. Now there are some new. There's some of the usual names. You know, our old friend Nick. You remember Nick when we? How many years ago was that? On that on the Badger blog.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. The uncontrollable Nick, as he's known on Twitter. Our guy Chad. Was in touch with us, Chad Reuter, and as usual, Mike Mikowski there. But some new folks, David Osorio was in touch. Zach Corrigan has been a regular correspondent with us. JB, Pack Daddy, our guy Rusty, and of course, Jack Broad from New York City in touch with us. So we appreciate all the give and take. Richard Durain, a Brazilian Packer. I don't know. I've never had a Brazilian, so I really couldn't tell you about that. But anyway, a Brazilian Packer in touch, a lot again from Zach Corrigan. And one of my favorite handles from Guy, and not just because he's been in touch with us, Childish Lambino, which I think is which is a pretty nice handle. So thank you for that as well. A lot of people on touch on Twitter. That is really the best way to correspond with us. Packers Therapy is the official account. I man that one. But there's also Pack Therapy Dave. He's the guy that you can also get in touch with and correspond with one or both of us via Twitter. Let me see. So now we should get to pop culture, Dave.
Yep. Can we go first?
Sure. What the hell?
I started a season 4 of a show that I really enjoyed over the – I think I enjoy season 1 and 2 more than 3, but I think 4 is enjoying
Fargo.
So far. Is Fargo, yes. Have you started watching it?
No, but I'm really intrigued by it. I've been reading a bit about it, and so I'm looking forward. I usually wait for all of them to drop, and I think this is one that comes out weekly.
Yeah.
Because I usually like to binge these things, so I have not started watching yet, but I'm looking forward. Chris Rock is in it.
I think the first couple seasons was very much like the movie where you had sort of a family murder, and you know,
right.
you had kind of the almost a mistaken murder, or you know, you've got you know really hick Minnesotans, you know, trying yes. to work things out amongst a lot of really creepy characters. This one is different. It takes place in Kansas City. There is a nurse who's from Minnesota, so you got someone with the accent. And it's a little bit more of kind of a mafia kind of feel to it. And Chris Rock is head of one of the families. There's an Italian family that's also that's in the town. And I think it refers to in some of the other seasons that there is like a mafia from Kansas City that's a yes. problem.
Yep.
And so I think this might be the origin story roughly of that. But it's all good. You know, the music, the Minnesota accent, the way they as they transition from one scene to the next, they'll kind of section the screen off into like three different views of things. And so it's real. It's got a real style to it that's really unique to Fargo. And it's great storytelling, great characters. Shoot, I'm not going to remember his name. Who was the main actor in Justified and in Deadwood?
Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, he's in it. This and he plays very much of an Oliphant character. He's a sheriff. And, you know, that guy could just play that character over and over and over. So that's I enjoy watching him in it too. He just kind of showed up in second or third episode. So I recommend Fargo. I would start at season one because I think season yes. one is fantastic. I think two yes. was really good too.
Two was really good as well. Was the second season when they had
like the UFO?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, first season, who was the bad guy in the first season? Was that the Sling Blade guy? Was he?
Yes.
Was that?
Yeah.
It was really, yeah. Outstanding.
He was good.
Yeah, absolutely. So the second, I'm trying to think now, the heavy in the second season. Anyway, I
was more of a family of their brothers and.
Yes.
I want to
yes.
say that was. And then the third season was. This is really bad podcasting because I'm not gonna remember the actor, and the he was Obi-Wan in Star Wars. he played twins. Remember that was the third
yes!
season.
Yes. Yes.
And now we got the Chris Rock.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an excellent show, and I was dubious because the movie was so good, and they sort of took it and spun it a little bit differently, and it's definitely worth the watch. The first. Three seasons. I think you're right. The first two are the better, but the first three seasons are very good. So I'm looking forward to the fourth season, definitely.
Yeah. So how about you?
You know, I've been there's a lot of things I could talk about. I did finally watch the Deadwood movie, so now I've watched the entire series and the movie. That's kind of how I knew Timothy Oliphant because I watched it last night, as a matter of fact. But the one we've been watching recently. I remember when I read the book Fatal Vision. I don't know if you remember this book, but it was about the Green Beret doctor in the Green Berets named Jeffrey McDonald. And his wife, pregnant wife, and two daughters were killed, stabbed to death in their home at the Fort Bragg military base in North Carolina. And it was big news. It happened in 1970. So it was a long time ago. Eventually over time, the, you know, finger began being pointed at, you know, Captain McDonald as the prime suspect. Well, the Army did an investigation and decided that they didn't have enough to charge him. And so, you know, he was let go. Eventually, though, you know, he did wind up facing trial 9 years later. He was out in the wild for 9 years. I think probably looking for the real killers. In fact, I think he even said that at one time, kind of the OJ type situation. And yeah. eventually is convicted of second-degree murder of his wife, who was pregnant at the time, and their two, you know, adorable little preschool daughters. So anyway... It's right now, it's on Hulu, a series I think initially aired on FX. It's five episodes. It's called Wilderness of Error. Hmm. And this takes a different tack than there's been a number of books about this over the years because there is enough suspicion that maybe he didn't do it. He's never admitted, you know, this. And there's conflicting testimony and, you know, all the things that, you know, there's enough doubt about this situation as to whether or not he actually killed his family. So anyway, it depends on what you read, or like there's been other, you know, dramatizations of it. There was another miniseries back in the 80s, I think it was, called Fatal Vision, based on that book. And all I had read about this was this book, and that came with the conclusion that he was guilty. So I began watching this miniseries thinking that, well, this guy's guilty. And it's not that clear. You know, it's less clear than I thought. I still think the guy did it, but, you know, the evidence that's laid out over these five parts gives a, you know, it's not as clear cut, pardon the pun because of the stabbing, but it's not as clear cut as I thought. So if you like true crime, if you like documentary, I mean, this goes, you know, back to Making a Murder and all those kind of things. If you enjoy that sort of thing, and at my house we do, this is definitely worth watching, called Wilderness of Error, and it's on Hulu. It's an FX show that's now available for downloading and binging on Hulu. So if you like that kind of thing, I say check it out.
All right. I wrote it down.
All right. So let me see. We've covered everything. Have there any loose ends dangling, Dave, or have we done enough here?
Not at this time of night. All the ends are tied.
All right, then. Good enough. So those are your betting lines. That's the pop culture to get you through the week. Dave and I are going to be back, I guess, the next 11 weeks at least. No more bye weeks for the Packers unless they face somebody that's got the COVID and they wind up having to shuffle the schedule around. Otherwise, you're stuck with us for the next 11 weeks. Packers to play Houston next Sunday at noon, Lambeau Field time. So you will check that out, and Dave and I will as well. And we will be back at that time with both the game recap and also our pop culture and betting line segment. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.